Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Have you thought about running for president of the United States in 2012?
It's not on my radar screen right now.
Was it ever?
Oprah, clear and clear every day what I'm seeing is you don't need a title to make a difference. Any ordinary American can seize opportunities to let their voice be heard, to speak up on an issue or for a candidate that they believe in, and they can make a difference.
That is for sure.
Well, that's Sarah Palin sitting down with Oprah for what proved to be a pleasant conversation, especially given the treatment that the media has been giving Sarah Palin from the time she emerged suddenly on the American political landscape until now. We're going to be talking about the media treatment of Sarah Palin. Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us for that conversation. Colleen is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Sarah Palin is much in the news, and of course, she's proven now that she can sell books. Do you think she has a real political future?
Well, I don't think necessarily as a presidential candidate. That remains to be seen. She probably wouldn't be my pick for that. But I do think she has a political future in terms of having influence within the Republican Party and the nation at large. And I think we can see that in a lot of the things that she's already been able to do, even since quitting her job as Alaska's governor. Probably most obviously, talking about death panels on a Facebook page and having the President of the United States have to answer her in his live national telecast. So I think she's got a lot of pull, she's got a lot of fans, and in that sense, yes, she has a future.
Maureen Dowd has written recently in reaction to her book, and she's basically kind of played the, well, I'm a real American card too, or maybe I'm not. Do you think that Maureen Dowd has accurately depicted what Sarah Palin is saying in her latest book?
I think Maureen Dowd is obsessed with Sarah Palin, and her most recent column this week is one of a string of columns. In this one, she took a little more of a victim tack. Gee, Sarah Palin doesn't think I'm a real American. She didn't mention in her previous column she's called her Caribou Barbie, gone on and on about her hair and makeup, depicted her as an airhead simply because she's attractive. So actually, Maureen Dowd has been one of the worst offenders in terms of feminists coming out against Sarah Palin and ridiculing her in, frankly, ways that if a man did it, we would all call him a male chauvinist pig. So I think it's a bit disingenuous for Maureen Dowd to suddenly act as if she's offended by Sarah Palin, not thinking that the journalistic elite are in touch with ordinary America. In fact, of course, many of them, including Maureen Dowd, are not, I believe.
You write, to a certain segment of America, everything Palin is and does is an affront, and everything her critics do to neutralize her influence only amplifies it. What are you talking about?
Well, I think we can begin, again, with columnists like Maureen Dowd, and there are plenty of others. MSNBC is obsessed with Sarah Palin. If it's not Sarah Palin, it's Dick Cheney we're hearing about every night, even though neither one of them currently holds a political office. The mainstream media, and I think Palin's right in saying that, you know, that's a misnomer in many cases, has been very hard on Sarah Palin, has fixated on some really superficial things ever since she made her debut a year ago. Again, her appearance, her family, her personal life, her teenage daughter's sex life. They don't want to grapple with the fact that she is extremely popular with a large segment of America, and a lot of ordinary Americans feel that she embodies a lot of their values. And so I think, in the sense that she's an affront, what I mean by that is simply that she, in many ways, personifies this modern feminist ideal of blending personal and professional success, but she won't buy and she won't sell the modern feminist dogma on flash issues like abortion. She's staunchly pro-life, and she has lived her own choice by giving birth to Trigg, her son, who is prenatally diagnosed with Down syndrome. Has a large family, is obviously devoted to her husband, and yet is still very successful in the professional realm. And anyone who doubts that has to admit that a $1.25 million advance for a campaign memoir by a failed vice presidential candidate is pretty unprecedented. So she is successful and in many ways embodies that pro-life feminist ideal, and I think that drives pro-choice feminists crazy, and they do tend to dominate, and their perspective tends to dominate the secular media, which I think is why Palin gets so much more criticism and scrutiny than, for instance, Barack Obama, who was running for president, and we didn't hear half as much critical coverage of Barack Obama over 2 years than we heard of Palin in 2 months.
I wonder if abortion is really just the only issue here. If Sarah Palin were pro-choice or even mildly pro-choice, as many Republicans are, do you think she would get this kind of attention? Do you think she'd get this kind of criticism?
No, I don't. And in fact, I think you're absolutely right. It's sad. You almost want to believe it's about a lot of different things. But at the end of the day, it comes back to abortion. And her critics will say this. When we saw during the campaign, one after another, Hollywood starlets and woman columnists and newscasters, you know, folks like Campbell Brown on CNN and folks writing articles and also just in Hollywood, many of the actresses. I mean, when you heard over and over what their big complaint was about Sarah Palin, very frequently for that group of critics, it always came back to abortion. And they'd mention this. And basically, the idea was you're not a real feminist, and in some ways, you're not even a real woman if you are as staunchly pro-life as Sarah Palin is. And I think there's something really disconcerting to these folks about the fact that she not only proclaims this, but she lives this. And she chose life in one of the hardest cases there is. She was an older mother, had plenty of kids already, big career, you know, the Down syndrome diagnosis. I think that just added something that really drives a lot of these women crazy. And there's a sense that her very life is in many ways a contradiction of their values, and it is in many ways a rebuke to them and to their decision. And I, you know, I don't know how many of her most vocal critics have themselves had abortions, but I think there's some of that is at play in this. And if you doubt it, you need to simply go back and read some of the articles about her. Abortion was always mentioned, and often just front and center, as this is not a real woman because she is not pro-choice.
I've heard some of her critics say, in essence, look, Sarah Palin thinks she's better than the rest of us. She's holier than thou. How would you respond?
Well, I think it's, again, ironic. It's a bit of the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, these are the same folks who just mercilessly ridicule this woman because she's from Alaska, because she speaks with an accent, because they think her wave is funny, because they think her hair is outdated, because they think her glasses are a little strange, because she seems like she shops at Walmart instead of, you know, where they, you know, at Saks, whatever. I mean, they ridicule her for the most superficial things, complete elite snobbery. You know, she went to a state school. She worked her way through college. She had a journalism degree instead of whatever kind of degree she was supposed to have. All of these things they feel make them better than her, and then they turn around when she calls them on their elitism and says, well, now you're looking down on us. So it's a little bit of this, I think, trying to turn around the charge that she's laid on them, fairly, I think, and turn it around and say, now you're doing that to us. So it's really kind of silly, I think. If they do wonder if they're not in touch with ordinary America, they could always drop some of the elitism and maybe they wouldn't be charged with elitism. So, you know, there are thousands of Americans, millions, who are following this woman and are interested in her. And her message is resonating with them. And if that message was completely empty and had no merit to it, I don't think we'd be seeing the kind of crowds that we're seeing packing auditoriums and book signings to hear and see this woman. She's resonating because I think her criticism, specifically of the media, is hitting home with a lot of people who are tired of what they see as liberal bias, but also elitism and a sense of looking down on red America that pro-lifers and conservatives and religious people simply are not, they're not good enough. And the fact that she's very open about her faith is also a reason I think she comes in for ridicule, and it's a reason that a lot of Americans admire her.
With only 30 seconds here, does she have the political heft to be a stateswoman, if not president, a stateswoman in the Republican Party and the American landscape? 30 seconds.
I think that remains to be seen. I would say certainly she was quite weak on some policy points during the election. I mean, obviously a lot of those interviews were pretty much disastrous. So I don't think she's ready to be president. Stateswoman is I'm not sure. I think we'd have to see more substance from her policy-wise. That may or may not be her role. What I do think is definitely her role is someone who can articulate the concerns of a lot of red America and a lot of religious and pro-life Americans and do so in a plain-spoken way and have some clout, not just in Washington, but in the culture at large, and say, you know, this is what it looks like to be a pro-life religious woman who has her own mind, is intelligent and successful, but is not turning her back on faith and family. And I'm going to articulate my concerns on whatever the issue may be. And when she speaks on something like health care reform or abortion, people are listening because she's speaking for millions of Americans. That's where I think her political future lies.
Colleen Carol Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book, The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we're going to play Soundbite of the Week. It's a regular Friday feature here on the program. We got soundbites from Dr. Larry Rast on Joel Osteen's Different Gospel. We got a soundbite from Dr. Kim Riddleberger recently on confusing America with the church. A soundbite from Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse on Sarah Palin as a feminist ideal. That's soundbite number three. Or tomorrow you can also listen to and vote for soundbite number four, Pastor Matt Harrison, on revivalism's effect on Lutherans and Lutheranism. That's tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Listen and vote tomorrow, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. You can listen to those sound bites at our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.